win Thursday night, I don't want the Chiefs to wrap up the AFC West. Get that first round bye. Take another check mark in the box. Yes, there are still these scenarios in which they lose Thursday night and can still win the division, still get a bye, all those things. But I'd rather take care of business in this opening one, get the Chargers out of the way. Don't give the Chargers the opportunity to get into the postseason just yet and win the game on Thursday night. I think Thursday's big. At Seattle will not be easy in the following game. And why in the heck would we want it to come down to the final game of the season when everybody could just go ahead and rest?
That's correct. Yeah, you'd like to have that extra. But do you, though? Because you're going to get the bye, and then you haven't played for like three. I guess you want the. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not playing against the Raiders. No.
The Raiders go out there and try to hurt you, probably.
Don't need to play anybody against the Raiders.
I don't know how I feel about that, Josh. Like, on the surface, I'm like, yeah, I want the bye to get the rest, and I want to be able to rest the week before the bye and get all this rest. But we've seen these teams that sit their starters. I don't think they do as well in the postseason. I mean, athletes are routine-based, man.
Went
everything
terribly
is routine,
for the Rams
routine,
last
routine.
Year, by the way.
They did sit everybody last year,
yeah,
in the final
week 17.
Game the didn't the Colts do that 1 year, too, and they lost the following week?
I mean, Colts are pretty notorious for doing it on a yearly basis,
yeah,
at least during Manning's run.
No, I need Henny against the Raiders.
You need Henny against the Raiders, so you can blame it on the Henny if they lose or something? But I don't know. I mean, ask me tomorrow, I'll have a different answer on rest. I think playing is probably a good thing for everybody. I mean, we saw it here in Kansas City. I mean, they rested everybody against the Denver Broncos last year, lost in the first round of the playoffs. I mean,
matter of fact, the last time that the Chiefs lost to the Chargers was because you were resting.
You were resting guys. Yeah, that's exactly right. And what did they do in the playoffs that year? They blew a 38-10 lead.
Same thing they always do.
So, to me, I...
But in the Mahomes era, we've not seen whether or not rest is a good thing.
That is true. I mean, that is true.
So everything's wiped away.
Everything is wiped. But we're not just talking Chiefs. We're talking, like, everybody in the NFL. I don't know what the right move is, and I would hate to be a coach to have to make that decision and then make the wrong decision.
Whether or not you play
guys and they get injured, or you don't play guys and then you stink it up the next week in the playoffs.
Do you want home field advantage in the playoffs come down to a final game against the Raiders?
No, God no. So just win on Thursday night and take care of everything.
Win on Thursday, win at Seattle. There's your two.
Well, I mean, you don't even have to win in Seattle. If you win on Thursday and the Patriots lose at Pittsburgh, then you win on field advantage. But they're not losing at Pittsburgh.
I don't think so.
No, they're not losing at Pittsburgh. So you need to basically win two more games to secure yourself home field advantage throughout the postseason.
Let's make it the first two and rest for the third.
But then you got a rest week and a bye week. So that's 2 weeks of rest. I don't know. With text line, what do you think? 69306 today on the Pepper Jack or the Protein House.
Not saving for good. I'm getting it done.
Yeah.
And then getting it.
And you're taking a 2 week vacation.
Yes.
I can
see Mahomes flipping 60-yard passes to Travis Kelce in practice. I'm good with that.
How do you respond like in life after a week's vacation? Well, it's tough to get back the first couple of days. Now imagine a 2 week vacation and trying to get back. I just don't know, and I'm asking. Like I wish I had a solid answer for this one. Like yes, you rest your guys in that last week of the season, or yes, you play your guys in the last week of the season. I think it's one of the big battles that these coaches fight with themselves all the time. Like, what's the right thing to do? I don't know what
the right thing
to do is
to have it wrapped up and rest all your guys. That's the right thing to do.
It sounds
you
like
you need
the
to
right
put yourself in the
do.
Scenario to be able to do that. And to be able to do that, you win the next two. And then you're in the scenario where it's out of your hands. You're just like, this game doesn't matter. Don't do anything. Don't do anything stupid.
It sounds like the right thing to do. It really
does. It is the right thing to do.
But it doesn't always turn out the right way when you rest guys, Josh. Ryan, if you could find a stat resting guys in that last week versus not resting guys, I'm sure somebody...
You're right on that.
I'm sure somebody is... No, I'm serious. I'm sure somebody has put together a study of what, you know, happens if you rest guys, because every year in the NFL we get to this point.
I'm sure the Patriots have rested people each and every year and have been at the end. And then that wrecks everybody else's stats because they've beaten everybody. You know what I mean? Like, so the Steelers had it wrapped up. Oh, they didn't win it all that year. Why? They probably play the Patriots. I mean, I think you could. It is the smart play. It is get it wrapped up. Get your check marks in your boxes as soon as possible. Wrap up your division as soon as possible. Wrap up home field advantage as soon as possible. All those things. Don't be messing around with this thing. Keep the Chargers in it and have them there to be the team that swoops in and takes home field advantage from you at the end of it. Can't happen. Got to win these next two games and get it over with. Who can go to Arrowhead, though, and win in the postseason? That was a discussion on NFL Network with Deion Sanders, 21st in prime, and the guys on that show. Who can go to Arrowhead and win in the playoffs?
You have to have an offense that can score points, because even though the Baltimore Ravens with the number one scoring defense, number one in total yards, they got 27 against them. So it has to be a team that can go there and put at least 27 points on the board. Can New England do that?
Yes.
But their defense, you see their defense, even when they're home, they gave up 40. So I don't – San Diego. I think San Diego is probably going to be the toughest challenge. They play L.A., sorry, L.A. Chargers.
But to add to your point, I think that team has to be balanced, so they have to be able to run the ball, because right. you got to keep Kansas City off the field. And I think you got to have a great scoring defense. And you're right, Los Angeles Chargers have that. They have a great scoring defense. They keep the score down, but they're a balanced offense. And I think they can keep Kansas City down.
Before you go, time, the loss of Kareem Hunt brings a lot of teams closer to the Chiefs than what it would have been had Kareem Hunt still been on that roster.
So everybody but Deion speaking there. Shannon Sharp, sure. And Daley Thompson. Who can go to Arrowhead, though, and win in the playoffs? I think we've seen the Ravens come close. They would give you some fits.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we'll see. If the Chargers come in on a Thursday night, you might have a different take on that. If the Chargers come in this week, on a Thursday night in a short week, and beat the Chiefs, you might think that they might be a team that would do that. Who would be your teams?
Well, if I'm ranking them from 1, 2, and 3 of the three, you know, teams that scare me the most, number one is the Ravens. I mean, we've seen the Baltimore Ravens already here in Kansas City, and I don't know about you. I don't want to face the Baltimore Ravens again. So I've got them number one on my list. I've got the Texans number two because they're very similar to the Chiefs from an offensive standpoint. I think they can go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs from an offensive standpoint, and I think they got a really good defense right now that can get out there and make plays. And so I don't want to see the Texans come in here. And then number three by default for me is the New England Patriots. I don't want to see them come in here because I think they're going to come in a couple of days early and find ways to cheat and try to get that game taken care of. I mean, it's what they do. They cheat. They're a cheating organization. It's proven. The headsets and the footballs, it's not a lie. It's not made up. It's not hyperbole. They cheat. They're a cheating organization, and I don't want to face cheaters because cheaters always find a way to finagle things. So those are the three teams.
Is that the saying?
Yeah.
Cheaters always find a way to finagle things?
They do.
Otherwise, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But you can't even say cheaters never win because the Patriots win all the time. I mean, you got Spygate, you got Ballgate, you got the Headset Gate. How many more gates do you need up there in New England? The Gates of Hell? I mean, what else?
Ballgate, you say.
Yeah. When they were deflating balls, what was it called? Ballgate.
Deflate gate.
I don't like that term. I like Ballgate better.
I still think that number one on my list is Patriots. I'm just not closing the door on them ever, despite the fact that they've got no road wins in the last decade.
That's
in the
right.
Postseason.
Yeah. No, 12 years. In 2019, it'll be 12 years since 12 they last years won since the road
last
in the playoffs.
Won a road game in the playoffs.
That's right.
They've lost two since then.
Well,
yeah, that's true. So I have Patriots the number one. Ravens, certainly, from what they showed me last weekend, I would not want to see them again. I've written off Houston because I don't think they're going to see them. I think Houston's going to be in the other side of the bracket. You're not going to worry about them. They're going to go to Foxborough and lose. Okay. So I have the Steelers. I know that where everybody's kind of ready to shut the door on the Steelers as well. Suddenly, you know, Big Ben gets a little bit healthy in the last few weeks. That's still a dangerous team. And we saw a Steeler team come here and without a touchdown beat you. I mean, I know that's, again, that's BM.
Boy, yeah.
But
it is, yeah. if the Chiefs go a game without a touchdown with this guy, whoop.
But that's.
And the Steelers could still conceivably lose their division, too.
Could. Right. I mean, could. So I have Patriots, Ravens, Steelers as my my top three. I wouldn't want to see.
No, you and I don't have the Chargers on the list. Do you?
I put the Chargers actually as my number one team. I do not want to see come to Arrowhead. I had the Patriots at number two, and then the Ravens were number three on my list. I think that the Ravens game this last week showed you that I don't want to have to go through that again, not this season.
Yeah.
The Patriots, just because they're the Patriots, and I'm never going to doubt the Patriots, despite that rather impressive stat you trotted out earlier, Bob.
Right.
And yeah, number one on my list is going to be the San Diego, the L.A. Chargers, because of the fact that you're going to have to play them three times in a season, and I think that you win this game on Thursday. We're going to have to deal with that narrative all through the week leading up. You know how hard it is to beat a team three times in a year.
Not as hard as everybody says it is.
I think it would be difficult to beat that San Diego team. Damn it, I did it again. That L.A. team three times in 1 year. I really do. I think they stack up well against the Chiefs. I think when we talked about the quote-unquote blueprint for how to beat a team, I think they're one of those teams that can kind of follow that a little bit. Now, they've been banged up in their backfield, and they don't have a power running game, so to speak, but they can certainly run the ball and hold the clock against you and play good defense as well. Not only that, they can score on defense. They can make big plays happen. And we saw in the LA game against the Rams that when big plays happened on the defensive side of the ball for the Rams, it equaled points for that team. And you sure. know what? That's something that really does scare me. Now, I'm not going to go in there, you know, hanging my head and saying, well, the Chargers are the better team, because I still think that the Chiefs are the better team. But I think top to bottom, the Chargers are a more complete team than the Chiefs. And that's, I think that's why they scare me more.
I don't think that's a gotcha type of statement, Ryan. I think because of their defense. Yeah, I mean, obviously they're a more complete team than the Chiefs are right now. But the Chiefs have found ways to win more so far this year than the Chargers had. And I think that narrative about beating a team three times in one season, that was big in the old days of the NFL. And I remember, you know, when the Giants were getting ready to play the Redskins in 1987 NFC Championship game, they were like, well, teams, and I think up until that time, like, there was a stat, like, nobody had ever won three games in a season over the same opponent or something like that. And they're like, oh, it's very difficult. The Giants won 17-0. The Redskins never had a chance in that game. And ever since then, I'm like, that's just a narrative that people like to throw out there. I think if you are the superior team,
you can win three times.
You can win three times in a row. I mean, it's just that's the way it is. Baseball teams sweep three game series all the time.
Chiefs have won nine in a row.
In a row over these guys. And so, like, I appreciate you putting the Chargers on the list, because I honestly, honest to God, I think Josh, you and we overlook the Chargers. We do. They're a good football team, and I appreciate.
I know.
Ryan,
I'm saying,
them on the list,
I could very well change my answer Friday morning.
Yeah, sure.
If they come here and win
38-10 or something, oh God, no.
I don't want to see that team again. Right. It could vastly change by Friday. At this point, I still feel like, hey, I don't know what the Chargers are. I said the Pittsburgh game was going to be that test for them, right?
Sure.
They had a nice comeback and beat Pittsburgh. You're like, oh, well, what was the narrative coming out of that game? Oh, what the hell's wrong with Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't anything still about the Chargers. I'm like, okay, what are they? And I think the Gordon injury is tough for them. But, I mean, Rivers and Allen scare me.
Right.
There's no doubt about
it.
I mean,
Eckler's also not supposed to play.
Eckler and Allen aren't playing.
They're going to be on their third, you know, third running back.
Who is their running back? Josh Johnson or something?
Chiefs might be on their third running back, too. So.
Kirk told us yesterday. I don't remember.
Justin Jackson or something.
That sounds right.
Chiefs may be on their third running back, too. So,
but
yeah.
Their third running back had two touchdowns the other day. Dan Williams.
I might have a different answer on Friday.
By the way,
at this point, I don't.
Yeah, Dan Williams. By the way, Bill Barnwell did a nice piece on resting your starters in week 17.
Yeah.
Tried to compare historically some teams that did it and what their success rates were. Really, his conclusion was, it's 50-50.
That's what I'm saying.
That's his conclusion.
Yeah.
He did say, though, that he would rest starters because the track record seems to indicate that you're better.
And he did go through a couple of teams. Like the 11 Packers were 13-0.
Right.
They rested starters. They lost to the Giants. The 2010 Eagles, which I look at, they were good. They were the 3 seed. Rested starters, lost in the playoffs. 2010 Patriots, they lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants that year. But then you got teams like the Ravens and the Saints in 2009 they won. So it is a mixed bag. I think it's all up to the coach and experiences maybe that you've had in certain situations.
The injury list factors in too. If it looks like now, I want guys rested. I don't want Patrick Mahomes taking hits in the final week of the season for no reason.
It just feels like one of those moves that a coach makes that if you're right, you're a genius,
yes,
and if you're wrong, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is a no-win situation. Our guy Dan Joy, who runs Lot D out at Arrowhead Stadium, sent me a message. He goes, why don't we just play him for a half?
You're talking about Legend Dan?
Legend Dan. That's exactly right. Why not just play him for a half? I'm like, that's not a bad idea.
Why let Patrick Mahomes get hit for a half?
I can see that happening.
I'm just nervous that you rest these guys and something bad happens. I mean,
don't be scared.
I am though. I'm just going to say I'm a little scared about that whole scenario because it becomes a big time narrative. Well, they should have never arrested the guy. You know what's going to happen if they rest their players and they lose in the playoffs? We're all going to go back to the fact that they rested those guys. If they don't rest those guys and somebody gets hurt, then we're going to go to there. They should have rested their guys. Like, it really is a no-win situation unless you win the Super Bowl.
We play another edition of In or Out, and we have an Uncle Rico in baseball next.
Fesco in the morning.
We will play another edition of In or Out coming up in just a moment. A Major League Baseball player really thinks highly of himself. We'll discuss that in a moment. But we hope to see you tonight, Ultimate Christmas 2018, to benefit Noah's Bandage Project, presented by Twin Peaks. Kansas Hall in Overland Park tonight, 6 until 10. It is a free event, 21 plus, complimentary pizza buffet from 6 until 8. Noah's Bandage Project giving away over $5,000 in prizes, including an arcade classic machine provided by Amini's. It's just our thank you to you, the listeners, who come on out. It is free tonight. And each person will receive one entry ticket for prizes and be able to receive more entries by donating to Noah's Bandage Project. Santa Binkley and his elves will be on hand to help bring the holiday cheer. And Ultimate Christmas Entertainment will feature the Mikey Needleman Band. You as the lead singer, though. It's called Live Band Karaoke. You get to pick the song, and you have a real band playing behind you. Should be fun tonight. Tons of prizes as well from Noah's Bandage Project, and a great benefit for them as well, our friends at Noah's Bandage Project. Get on out tonight. More at 610sports.com. Free Kansas Hall, Overland Park tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock. Hope to see you there. All the details, again, 610sports.com. A major league pitcher appeared on the MLB StatCast podcast, 33-year-old Adam Ottavino, free agent reliever. Get this. He says he would strike Babe Ruth out every time. Got our own version of Uncle Rico over here. 33-year-old right-hander says Babe Ruth couldn't keep up with today's baseball. I had an argument with a coach in AAA about Babe Ruth's effectiveness in today's game, Ottavino said. You know, he discussed things when he was in AAA. I said, Babe Ruth, of that swing, swinging that bat, I got him hitting .140 with 8 home runs. He was like, are you nuts? Babe Ruth had hit .370 with 60 home runs. And I'm like, I would strike out Babe Ruth every time. Not trying to disrespect him, you know, rest in peace.
Drunk,
you know,
on this podcast?
Shout out to Babe Ruth. But it was a different game. I mean, the guy ate hot dogs and drank beer and whatever he did. It was just a different game. He'd strike out Babe Ruth every time. We used to have a person on the show that thought he was a pretty good athlete, but Adam Ottavino, I believe, may have made top even Spector.
Well, we all
thought
think
he could average, what was it, average 9 points a game for TCU or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
At that time, he probably could.
Maybe.
Because TCU was pretty bad at that time. But I think right now, you know, as kids, we all thought we were better, you know, than certain athletes out there, right? I mean, every one of us has thought we could be better than that guy out there. There was always that one guy that you looked at and said, oh, God, that guy's terrible. Like, Denys Reyes for the Royals had one leg shorter than the other, and he would come kind of hobbling out of the bullpen. I always thought, like, I could do better than that. I could do better than that guy out there. Or you look at, like, a Trezell Jenkins. I'm sure there were a lot of people in Kansas City at that time when Trezell Jenkins was the number one draft pick going, I could play better than that guy out there. There was another guy that was on the Chiefs years and years ago in the early 2000s, a big, just kind of doughy offensive lineman that was never any good, that I always thought, man, I could be better than that guy is out there. Like, we all have those moments where we think we're better than whatever athlete we're watching because we're men, and that's what we do. But at no point in time do you actually really believe Willie Jones, that was the offensive lineman that I always thought I could be better than. But there was no point in time where you look at it and you go, you really believe that you are better than that athlete. Adam Ottavino really believes he could go out there and strike out Babe Ruth. And
slow bat speed.
If he's playing Babe Ruth.
You know, Babe Ruth didn't have that great launch angle and all.
Right.
So.
But if he's playing Babe Ruth.
Exit velocity, terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. Right. Now, he's right, guys probably weren't
velo out of the batter's box was
has
terrible.
Gone over those films yet and
tried to get his exit velo with launch angles?
I'm sure some nerd in his mother's basement is doing that as we speak.
Then he had to
Josh.
Be careful because that film was always a little bit fast.
I think they always got to live in their mom's basement.
Well, where else are they living?
Because
they ain't got no girlfriend.
Nurse could have apartments.
In the Babe Ruth black and white video days, he would waddle around the bases really fast. So you have to be careful. The video speed might have been sped up too, so it would be hard to determine exactly what the exit velo would be. Bob, though, says everyone thought they were better than a pro athlete.
Oh, you always
I don't think I've ever thought I was better than a pro.
Ran like that big penguin in Billy Madison.
He did, yeah. You, honest to God, as a child, never had a moment, or as a college guy, where like, I could do better than that guy. You never had that moment. You're a liar. You are
better than a professional athlete? No, I was pretty real. Pretty
really?
Realistic
you never
in the thought that
a
I could
game and went, I could do better.
No, because I know it's dumb.
Not one time.
You guys are liars.
I've sat there and yelled at people. I called them bums and said they're terrible. I've never considered myself the better option.
You've never said I could do better.
I think I've looked at the end of a college basketball bench before and said, you know, my day, I could have been better than these guys.
There
Some of these guys really suck.
Yeah.
But that's like college guys at the end of a bench. This is not like a professional, let alone the best, you know, the best slugger of all time.
I've watched a lot of Ruse basketball. I'm not as good as a 12th guy on their bench.
You've never looked at like one of these stiffs in the NBA and been like, I could do better than that guy.
Not one time has me, a 5'9½", 250-pound Caucasian man.
Oh, you're bigger than
thought to myself. I can do this.
I think I thought offensive lineman.
If I've looked at a guy and said, if I had his physical like size, could I do what he did? Yeah, I've done that. Like Deion Gales, that defensive
line. That's
another
one, yeah.
Defensive lineman for the Chiefs. There was like a few years of camp. I'm like, I don't know how the hell this guy keeps making the team. He looks like he can't tie his shoes.
Yes.
He was just falling over at every single drill without any contact, like running into blocking dummies and getting like, I'm like, how is this guy on the team? I would look at him and like, man, if I had those physical skills, I wouldn't be wasting it like this guy. I think there's plenty of stiffs in the NBA, too. They were like, oh, if I was really tall, I'd have been a much better. I mean, that type of thing, yes, but not realistically.
Who was that slappy the Giants had on the offensive line that was a first-round pick that they cut this year and nobody picked up in the NFL? And they moved them from left tackle to right tackle, and now he's out of the NFL. He was like a top-10 pick. Like, I think people look at that guy and go, I could be better than that guy. I think you couldn't. You could, though. That guy, yes, you could be better than that guy. I think there's always been that guy. I think you're just a liar in saying that you've never thought that you could be better than a guy. You've had a couple of pops in you, but I can do better than that guy can. I mean, how many people thought they were better than Alex Smith? I mean, for God's sakes, right?
Bunch of wrong people. Eric Flowers, by the way.
That's who it is, Eric Flowers. Yeah,
guy, Eric Flowers.
Yeah, that guy.
I can't believe you erased it from your memory.
I did.
You had it out for him for a little while.
Someone says they're better than Nate Peterman right now.
Yeah, that is true.
No, I don't think you are.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Put Nate Peterman.
That guy sucks.
Put Nate Peterman back in the college.
Was that test from a Colin K?
Put Nate Peterman on your rec team. He's carving you up.
Yes.
Your rec team. That's right.
Go out in your backyard you and like seven of your buddies, and Nate Peterman's there.
Yeah.
And show me your – no, yeah. Nate Peterman is all-time quarterback if that's the situation.
Yeah. He shows up and plays against your rec team. He is chewing you up and spitting you out.
I would beat Nate Peterman as a quarterback in rec football.
No chance.
Absolutely. I'm sure Billy thinks you could do it, too.
Yeah, no chance. Sorry, Billy. Billy's the only one that's got your back on this one.
You guys are out of your minds. You're absolutely out of your
minds. We're out of our minds?
Yes.
We're out of our minds. Couldn't do better than a professional athlete?
Because we're realistic.
No, because you've never sat there and had the conversation. I can do better than that guy. Like, you've never had that conversation. You're a liar. You're 100% a liar. I know you are. I know you've sat there drunk at one point watching a game going, I can do better than that guy.
I say a lot of things when I'm drunk.
Yes, we've all done it. Every one of us has sat there and go, I can do better than that guy.
Ottavino believes it.
I'm not saying we believe it, but we said it about people. Like, how many people were better than Matt Cassel?
You're choosing this hill to die on?
Yes! Yes, I am. You're damn right. This is my hill right now. Because as a man watching a game, you have said at one point, I could do better than that guy. You know you have. And if you claim you have it, you're just a liar. Because we've all done it. We've all sat there. I promise you sat there at least one time during the Matt Cassel era and went, I'm better than that guy.
I don't know.
Yes, you did. Because everybody did. Everybody did.
I usually say they suck, but it's on a relative scale to those in their realm.
Mm-mm.
Not me.
You've said it. You 100% have said it.
I'm not
it's
saying
natural.
I could be Matt Cassel. I'm saying there are people on this planet that could be Matt Cassel.
It is 100% normal to
do
that.
Much closer to the realm of possibility.
Someone says, I believe Ryan could line up as a fullback and get a 4th-and-1. I don't know.
I bet you could.
I don't know.
What team? Your takeoff speed would be a little bit slow.
Do I got? I'm slow at the blocks.
Yeah. How many times has Demetrius Harris dropped the pass? And you go, I could have caught that.
Never.
Liar.
Never not one time have I thought I could catch a pass
Liar.
In the NFL.
Liar.
Someone saying every time Soria pitched as a Royal, I could do better.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
No, it's not
That's
true.
Exactly what I'm getting at. Guys are sitting there
go
to
the
say,
state
I
fair
this guy
and Worlds of Fun and do that speed pitch and tell me that your 53-mile-an-hour heater is going to put anybody away.
You are mixing reality
that
versus
really hurt
what
when
men
you
say.
53 really
it does hurt.
Exerted
yeah,
your
you,
arm.
You,
you're like,
I'm feeling
string
it now.
A guy out.
But,
no,
but
you
you're saying, you're mixing reality of what you could do versus what you think you could do. And it's what you think you could do. We've all thought at some
Live
point
in the
time,
now, Bob.
We could be better than that guy that's out there pitching or playing quarterback or offensive line or defensive tackle or whatever the case may be. I'd have made that play. We've all said it. Adam Ottavino believes it. He's wrong. We're all wrong. We couldn't do better. But we've all thought at some point in time, I'm better than that guy.
We still need to play an edition of In or Out. We take a peek at the playoff picture and look at how the Chiefs can hold their spot. Just sue, baby. Today in history and the big story, all next.
Why don't you blow it out your ass, Bob?
Fesco in the morning.
We swear we'll play a little In or Out coming up in just a few minutes, but it is time to peek at the playoff picture. I feel like this needs a sponsorship. It's time now to look at the playoff picture brought to you by...
Actually working
sponsor
on this.
Yeah, it's our sponsor. A little late, though, I guess. This late in the season, we probably should have jumped on that one a little bit earlier. Here's a look at the playoff picture.
I've been asking for a sponsor to the When It Was Over feature. If anybody has a funeral home out there that wants to sponsor that segment, we're calling it the Nail in the Coffin.
Yeah, that's a funny one.
Let us know.
Nobody in our sales department thought we were serious on that one.
No, I'm serious as a heart attack on that one.
That's a great one. When was it over?
When was it over? Brought to you by so-and-so funeral home.
We should just start picking new funeral homes every week.
How many funeral homes are there out there? Are there a lot? Like, is that like a competitive business, I guess?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So there's multiple, there's many, many funeral homes around town. So if you own a funeral home or work at a funeral home or something like that, and you want to sponsor every Monday at 6:30, we tell you when it was over, you know, let us know. 69306 on the text line today.
And there's like five within 3 miles of the station.
Okay, so there is competition. That's good.
Well, people are dying to get in.
They really are, yes.
I'm sorry to everyone for that one.
I just didn't know which one of you was going to jump on that one first, but I knew it was coming. So the Chiefs remain the number one seed, a win, and they win the West, and I'm sure assure themselves a first round bye. The Patriots remain the 2 seed. We need the Patriots to lose two at the Steelers, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then they make the Steelers suddenly healthy again.
Yeah.
So, pick your poison. Texans remain the 3 seed. Both the Patriots and Texans, of course, losing last weekend while the Chiefs won. Steelers still the 4, although appear to be fading, right?
Yep.
And the Chargers, the 5th seed. Ravens, the 6th seed. Still kind of that same scenario. You get the highest or the lowest remaining seed, I should say. So, say you believe in the Ravens. Could they knock off the Texans? You might see them again.
Yeah, may see them again.
If you think the Chargers are hotter right now, already beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They do it again. Might get the Chargers in the first game of the postseason. But right now, the playoffs are clinched. A win on Thursday assures the West being clinched and a first-round bye.
Yeah, this is where the whole, people talk about it all the time at this point of the year of reseeding, the playoffs and seeding by record. Because if you were seeding by record right now,
Chargers are the second best record.
Are the 2 seed, in this. And I always thought, that it should be done, based on record. I understand the division and giving people, a benefit for going out and winning your division. But sometimes if you're a team like the Chargers, you just get stuck behind a white hot team in the Kansas City Chiefs, and no matter what you do, you're not going to have an opportunity to win that division. The Chiefs win on Thursday night. They've clinched 3 straight AFC West championships, and for them, that's unheard of. They never clinched 2 in a row, let alone 3 in a row. And so you've got a team right now that's got a stranglehold in this division, and you're going out and you're having one heck of a season, and you get punished for it because the team that you're competing with in your division just happens to be one of the best, if not the best team in the National Football League this year.
In the NFC side, the Saints and Rams have both clinched playoff spots and clinched their divisions. They are 1 and 2, both at 11-2. Saints the number 1, Rams the number 2. The 3 seed remains the Bears. Watch out for the Bears.
Yeah,
right?
I don't want to see them in the Super Bowl.
Bears the 3 seed against currently the Vikings, still in as the 6 seed.
Wow.
The Cowboys the 4 seed. Cowboys and Seahawks in a 4-5 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Those are 2 teams that are playing pretty well right now.
Yeah.
So that's the 4-5 matchup in the NFC. Outside looking in the AFC, Colts, I think someone on the Protein House, Eve of the Purpose text line, also mentioned a team they wouldn't want to see, the Colts, if they were to sneak into the playoffs.
Well, that's just because of the BM before Mahomes.
Yeah, I think so. But also, Andrew Luck was playing well until whatever happened last week. That was weird. But the Colts, the Dolphins, the Titans, all at 7-6. I once was a buyer in the Broncos. I think too many injuries.
They're done, yeah.
They're not going to get in. NFC side, doesn't feel like there's anybody worthy.
No.
Panthers, Eagles, Redskins, all losing records. Packers losing record as well. All on the outside looking in of the NFC. So Chiefs can continue to take care of their own business and get this thing wrapped up. A win clinches the AFC West. and not quite yet the home field advantage, but that would come if they were to win and the Patriots were to lose. Right.
Then they could clinch home field advantage as soon as Sunday. I don't expect the Patriots to go to Pittsburgh and lose.
The Patriots just don't
lose back-to-back games. And coming off a loss like they did, you don't think they're going to be pretty ticked off to go into Pittsburgh and win a football game. So I don't expect them to lose to Pittsburgh. But if that should happen and the Steelers do win that game and the Chiefs win on Thursday night, then the Chiefs have home field advantage clinch, and they essentially then have two games left on the schedule, Josh, that don't mean anything. You know, you got week 16 and 17 that all of a sudden become meaningless football games.
If that happens, I could entertain the argument of playing guys in the final week.
And not playing them against Seattle. I'd rather take Seattle off than the Raiders.
If stuff's wrapped up, I can make that case. But if it's not, I want home field advantage throughout the AFC. I want that AFC championship game at Arrowhead.
Sure.
So I'm throwing everything at that. But if they were to wrap it up this weekend with a win and a Patriots loss,
then you got 2 weeks. Then you essentially though are going an entire month without a meaningful football game.
Well, it's price of being good.
No, it is. But is that the best? You know, I mean, you want in a utopian society, you want that. But in a realistic society where guys are such creatures of habit and do everything in routine, especially in sports, you're like, is that necessarily the best thing? I mean, again, we talked about it about an hour ago. There's just so much back and forth and so much to weigh. And you can make a case for resting. I can make a case for playing. And I would buy both of the theories. You know what I'm saying? Or you can make a case for playing and I can make a case for resting. I'm like, yeah, I'm into that one too. So it's really, really, really tough with what decisions have to be made over the next month of the season. It's great to be in that position, though. It really is. And so I hope the Patriots do go to Pittsburgh and lose that game and the Chiefs wrap up this thing. So we've got two regular season games that don't mean anything. And when was the last time you saw a regular season in the NFL where the last 2 weeks of the season were meaningless for the outcome? That shows complete and utter dominance over a regular season if the Kansas City Chiefs can be in that position.
Let's play in or out.
In or out?
Just when I thought I was out.
Out.
They pull me back in.
In or out?
At least you're pumping them out, baby. I like it.
Try to cram it all in.
Nope. In or out?
I was very excited over the weekend about something on this edition of In or Out. So we'll get to that last. First up for you, though, HGTV has an exciting new addition to their 2019 lineup. This will actually be
probably in.
This will actually, you're a huge HGTV fan.
I love HGTV, yeah.
The restoration of the Brady Bunch house. A very Brady renovation is what they're calling it. It is a digital series that they've released behind-the-scenes stuff leading up to 2019. Basically, they bought the Brady house. They brought in all of the surviving cast members. They met them, and they're looking over their shoulder while they renovate the old house.
Oh, I didn't realize they were doing that with the whole cast. I knew HGTV bought the house.
The six kids are in.
That's awesome. I'm in.
The Brady kids are in. They're going to oversee the restoration of the house because The show, they showed the outside of the house. And then obviously the inside of the house was a set. It wasn't.
I'm sure it looks nothing like the inside.
If I read this right, they're going to redo the house as if it were the inside, where the actual inside of the Brady house.
Oh.
Correct.
Oh, I'm so in on this.
Yeah, exactly.
This is great.
I mean,
they're going to restore it to its 70s glory.
With the turf in the backyard, whole deal.
And then they're going to turn around and sell the house.
I can't wait to see all the six kids like going down the stairs.
I think this is neat, man. This is real. So when does the series start?
2019 is when it's slated to be released.
It doesn't have a January 1st or anything like that. No, I'm definitely in on this one. I kind of like this one because they're thinking outside the box. And I remember when that house went up for sale, they're like, HGTV bought it. I'm like, HGTV? Wonder what they're going to do with this one. This is cool. I like it.
The Flamingo Casino in Vegas. Lovely stuff.
I've stayed there numerous times.
They're undergoing a $156 million renovation.
Wow.
As part of their renovation, they have unveiled 14 new bunk bed rooms and several larger bunk bed suites. A bunk bed room will start at about $115 per night. The suites are obviously much more, but all of them will feature a queen size bed with a matching bunk over top. The suites have two queen size beds with bunk beds over top. I don't know about you guys. I am certainly in on bunk bed suites.
Oh, I'm 100% out on that. You could die in a bunk bed, fall out of that thing, crack your head open. Yeah, I'm out.
They have like rails on the side, Bob.
No, I'm out.
I think it's a perfect opportunity for people to like, you know, go to Vegas with their friends and share a room and have bunk beds. Yeah.
I know. Like, I'm really happy that Vegas finally got hip to the fact that we were cramming eight people into a, into a two-person room.
It seems like this is a smart idea that's well overdue.
I mean, all I'm doing is passing out up here. So Vegas so like, you know what you're doing? Yeah, we'll
I'm
go
glad
with that.
I'm not the only one who's done that. Yeah, we need one room, please. How many people? Two?
Just a single.
Yeah.
How many keys do you need?
Nine. Yeah, we plan
17.
To have them.
I need all of them.
Oh, it's great, though. I mean, like, because Vegas is like they got great hotels out there, but you're never in the room. It really is a place where you go to pass out, shower, and repeat.
That's right. That's all I need. See, now all of a sudden you're in, except for the...
I'm not in for the bunk
the
bed.
The danger of the top bunk.
I have a phobia of bunk beds.
Would you sleep on the bottom bunk?
Oh, I would, yeah. I'm not sleeping in the bunk, though.
So don't throw the baby
if you slept
out
on the bottom
water.
Bunk, you could get squished.
Yeah, what if the top bunk collapses
that is,
on
that
you?
That is true.
Yeah. You'd want to be on the top.
Yeah, like David Spade and Black Sheep. That was that movie, right?
It sounds right, yeah. I haven't seen it in a while.
I liked it better the first time when it was called Tommy Boy.
Yeah, Tommy Boy's better.
Coming to theaters near you very shortly, actually, in next Wednesday, you can watch Mary Poppins Returns. Bob, you've got two daughters. This might be right up your alley. Who am I saying? My son will probably want to watch this, too. This from the IMDb page. Decades after her original visit, the magical nanny returns to help the bank's siblings and Michael's children through a difficult time in their lives. Aw. Emily Blunt will be starring as Mary Poppins. You can catch that in theaters next Wednesday. I am out.
I don't need get an original
Mary Poppins
idea.
Reboot?
Yeah. Just a spoonful.
Who was asking
sugar
for
helps
that?
The medicine go down.
Who was asking for that?
You know what it is? Every once in a while, you have those moments at work. Not us, but a lot of people have those moments at work where they just want to mail it in. So the folks at Disney are sitting around one day and somebody's going, it's July. How about we reboot Mary Poppins and we all go home for the summer?
I got to admit, if I was an actor, which I'm not, nor a comedian professionally.
You should try it, though.
I would take any and all of these parts, though. Like, who cares, you know?
Keep an eye on your car.
Like, they give you a reboot for, like, Mary Poppins, and you're like, conceptually, I think it's stupid. Like, I don't
How
need
much is
Mary
it
Poppins.
Paying?
I look at that, I'm like, yeah, fine, I'll do it. Who cares?
Like, know? If you're an actor, why are you turning down anything?
Yeah. I love the ones like, well, I'm only taking the roles I'm really... Those are the rich ones.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only taking those roles that I'm
Emily
really,
Blunt said she was really she had some trepidation about. Before taking the role as Mary.
Why?
She wanted to do it justice. Was it Julie Andrews? Was
yeah,
it
Julie Andrews, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wanted to do Julie Andrews justice.
Sure.
Whatever. Finally for you, this is something I've been waiting... I feel like I could say my whole life for not be hyperbolic. McDonald's is rolling out cheese and bacon on top of their fries. The cheddar cheesy bacon fries will be making their appearance nationwide very soon, according to
January,
to
I
McDonald's.
Think.
Yeah, January. I don't know if it's January 1, but it'll be 2019. They've been testing them in a couple of markets. People were
you don't have
sending,
to test those.
Yeah,
why would
break.
You?
Have it's
you, cheese would you like
and
cheese and bacon on fries?
Yes.
Let's see if this works.
Have you had the Baconator ones at Wendy's?
Heat.
If they do it right, fantastic.
Heat. Are they good at Wendy's?
I mean, if they do it right, you know, sometimes I found the quality control. I've only had them like probably three or four times. The quality control is a little off. Like someone's just mailing in, like
it really
just
fast.
Throwing cheese and bacon on there. But if you spread it out and do it right, oh my, it's fantastic.
That's a fork meal, right?
Yeah, they look like they come in a little, I don't know, like one of the McNugget boxes or something.
Yeah, that's good. I'm in.
Yeah, this seems like they don't need a test
what
market
took
for this.
McDonald's so long to put toppings on their fries?
You know what we're going to test? Hamburgers. And if people like them in Northern California, we'll release them nationwide.
God, I'm so excited about cheesy bacon fries.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I'm in.
Have the best fries in the world. Why not put toppings on them?
Well, because they're good by themselves, though, Ryan.
When's McDonald's going to step into the tater tot game? I'm just waiting for that.
Yeah, Sonic's got the market.
They already have
the
breakfast hash browns pretty good. I mean, I would think they could make that easy transition in the tater tots.
I think the hash rounds at Burger King are top notch.
Those are really good. That's all I got for you.
That is today's edition of In or Out. Never take your fans for granted. I think it's good advice for every team at every level. Then you have the Oakland Raiders. The city of Oakland has filed suit against the Raiders.
Yeah.
and they're suing to recover damages for the Raiders' upcoming move to Las Vegas. Suit filed in U.S. District Court against the Raiders, the NFL, and the other 31 clubs seeks lost revenue, money, Oakland taxpayers invested in the Raiders, and other costs. Doesn't ask the court to prevent the Raiders from moving to Las Vegas, but asks them to offset damages to pay the approximate $80 million in debt remaining from renovations at the Coliseum. City says they violated antitrust laws and the league violated its own relocation policies when the team the league allowed the team to make a decision to move to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, calls the suit meritless and malicious. As he spoke to ESPN, then would have no further comment on the matter. My feeling is we're 3-10 and we're still relevant. It's a legal issue. I'll let the attorneys make any further comment. Emotionally, I would say, why would I give them $3 million, $4 million, $5 million in rent that they're going to turn around and use to sue me? But at the same time, if they'll have us, I can't turn on the fans. I can't do it.
You're moving the team to Vegas, bowl cut.
And this is terrible negotiating I'm doing right now. I'm going to get killed, but that's the way I am. But if, in fact, it gets ugly and can't be bridged, we do have options. I can't turn on the fans.
You're moving your
team. Oh,
really?
Because you're moving from Oakland to Las Vegas. It's pretty much turning on your fans.
And you move from Oakland to Los Angeles and then left Los Angeles and moved back to Oakland. And now you're leaving Oakland and going to Las Vegas. And you have the gall to say, I can't turn on the fans. I can't do it.
Nobody thinks like you do, honestly.
What? You have 100% turned on the fans. Like moving the team.
That's turning on
the fans. Yeah.
He just can't do it.
Just can't do that. I just can't turn on these fans. When's that stadium ready in Vegas?
I'm not going to pay you money if you're just going to use that money to sue
me. Maybe he thinks they're just the same fans, though.
Probably does, yes.
It's all the same.
He probably thinks they're all moving.
You know what? I can't do this. I can't turn on the fans. Sir, you're moving your team.
Well, other than that.
Let's not split hairs here. It's not like we're moving to Alaska.
I mean, we still want those fans.
I mean, Vegas is about an hour from the California border. The state touches California. It's not like we're really moving. What is this guy thinking? I mean, every single day, you got to thank your blessings for what we have here in Kansas City.
Take your fans for granted. Just another example of that.
I mean, well, yeah, maybe someone take it. Can't do this to the fans.
Today in history.
Gentlemen, I'm here to help you with your history report.
Sure. Sounds important.
You know what today is?
History! What's today? October?
No, it's December 12th, and a lot of very important things happening. On December 12th, on this day in 1977, the classic Saturday Night Fever starring John Travolta premiered in New York City. I don't know if there's a better intro to a movie than Saturday Night Fever.
I would say...
Actually, I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Hey, we were wondering for a long time if anything beat the George Jefferson strut.
Ooh,
Travolta,
yeah.
Pretty good.
What was his name in that movie?
Travolta's strut?
No idea.
Wasn't it just John Travolta?
I don't know.
I think what I'm looking at here is the best movie soundtrack maybe ever.
It was all just Bee Gees music. That is not the best movie soundtrack ever. I would put the Aladdin soundtrack in front of that.
Tony Manero. John Travolta's character.
Reservoir Dogs, a very solid soundtrack as well.
What about Goodfellas?
Goodfellas.
Major League?
Maybe we should just power rank movie soundtracks today.
Yeah, Goodfellas was a good one.
Just put that one on the list. On this day in 2001, Winona Ryder was arrested for shoplifting in Beverly Hills. We haven't forgot Winona.
No, we haven't. Never live that one down.
Nope, not.
Just got a text from a funeral home that's interested, by the way.
Sweet. Also, divorce attorneys could be a good option as well. For when it was over. Text line suggested that earlier. I thought it was a really
good idea. Yeah.
On this day in 1899, George F. Bryant of Boston patented the wooden golf tee. Great work, George. He patented a stick.
You know what, though?
Very helpful stick.
That's one of the best patents. Everybody uses a golf tee, right? That's good move.
That guy's laughing all the way to the bank.
those people don't. On this day in 1930,
I chew on golf tees.
Do you?
Yeah.
On this day in 1930, the rules of baseball changed forever. It no longer counted as a home run if a ball bounced into the stands. It now was a ground rule double.
What year was this?
1930.
That's the last time baseball made a rule change.
That's. You were going to say that regardless of the year.
Give or take. Yeah.
On this day in 1973, the city of San Diego filed an antitrust lawsuit against the National League, prohibiting the Padres to move to D.C. Probably should have just let that go.
Yeah.
Just let it happen.
Nah, it turned out to be good.
Lava.
Yeah, I like that.
What have the Padres done?
They've been to a World Series, a couple of them. I think 84 and 98.
The hell out of here.
Crushed my Cubs dreams in 84.
Right, it was 84, yeah. 84 and 98.
A lot of sports stuff happening today. On this day in 1987.
End of the year, people are trying to get their stuff taken care of.
That's clearly what it is. On this day in 1987, Mookie Blaylock set an NCAA record with 13 steals in the game. The Sooners had 37 total steals in that game. It was not a good showing by the other team. Mookie actually did that twice, too. He has 13 steals in a game twice. That is stupid impressive.
Who is your favorite Mookie? Wilson, Betts, or Blaylock?
Blaylock, easily.
Yeah, mine's Blaylock. Wilson. I go with Wilson.
Blaylock. You know, the original name for Pearl Jam was supposed to be Mookie Blaylock.
That's right.
But Eddie Vedder said it was taken by a guy named Mookie
Blaylock.
Mookie Blaylock. Yeah. So, turns out it was already taken. On this day in 1968, Arthur Ashe became the first black tennis player to be ranked number one in the world.
Nice.
So congratulations, Arthur Ashe. I still don't know if I could pull off those shorts. And finally for you on this day in 2011, Jewish reggae star Modest Yahoo shaved his beard after 16 years.
Cool.
It's the longest you've ever gone without shaving.
About 10 days.
Really?
Yeah, it was about 10 days last week before I finally shaved, and it was awful. Yeah.
I hate it. I go, like, every Sunday, and, like, today's a shave day for me. I'll shave today. And Wednesday is usually when I shave.
Huh. It's nice. Happy 78th birthday to Dionne Warwick.
Oh, that's what friends are for, baby.
Right. Bob Barker, who I'm shocked is still with us. He's 95 today.
Fight you.
What are you shocked about? That guy's in great
He's
shape.
He's not. 5 more years, he gets a Smucker's jar,
That's
Bob.
That's right.
Happy birthday, Bob. Don't forget to have your pet spayed and neutered. Sheila E. turns 61 today, and Spin Doctors guitarist Eric Shankman is 55. Happy birthday, Eric.
There you go, Shank.
All of that happening on this day in history.
It's the big story.
Big, big, big.
It's what you're talking about.
If it was a regular salad, I wouldn't have said anything. But you had to have that big salad.
You want it? We got it now.
Well, that does sound big.
My Google box wasn't running fast enough. I wanted to see if Spin Doctors were still touring.
Oh, I'm sure they're at a state fair.
Got to be a yes, right?
Which is like when you really realize, like, oh boy. State fair or county fair?
Oh, county fair is a mo' boy, yeah. Because that's fairs try to. They'll sometimes have good like a good run of concerts, like seven days. They'll have different themes each night or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay. I think you go county fair.
That's the sad part.
That's the sad one.
I told you when I was working in minor league baseball, the county fair was next to the stadium, and our walkie-talkie signals would get crossed, and we would get on there and talk about cows being let out and running all over the place. The panic on people's voices was outstanding.
Well, their website says pumped to be joining many of our fans across the USA in 2018. So apparently they were touring.
All right.
Check out our calendar for more info.
I'd like to see where they were.
A big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group, a company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com. Big story happens to be the injury report for the Chiefs heading into Thursday night. There are a lot of injuries. Spencer Ware, shoulder and hamstring, didn't practice yesterday. Cam Irving, knee, did not practice. Sammy Watkins, still out with his foot injury. Tyreek Hill, limited with his heel and wrist. Patrick Mahomes, actually on the injury list. A left wrist injury, but was a full participant in practice yesterday. Chargers, a little thin at running back. Melvin Gordon practiced for the first time since November 25th with his knee injury. He is listed as limited, but told reporters he'd likely be a game-time decision. Remember, he was hurt on that reverse play late in the game that, like, didn't matter. I was having to be listening to that game, and the announcers thought he was done for the season. So he's back practicing, but I can't imagine he's going to be able to go on Thursday. Their backup running back. Austin Eckler also not practicing with neck and concussion. They could be in their third running back, as could the Chiefs, coming up on Thursday night.
But our third-string running back had a couple of touchdowns the other day.
He did.
Damn, Williams was good.
Damn, Williams has an opportunity to maybe be the starter coming up on Thursday. So we'll keep an eye on that. There's your big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group. Belief, denial, or hope? We discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.